Set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me, a sinner. Help me to carry your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we have a new person here. We go through the book, Paul, and you'll see it all on the site. We have gotten to page 85. We're in step 10, and I think we've spent about 9 months or so going through the book up to this point. And these pages on 84 to 88 are how I should live if I want to have a spiritual life. How do I practice inventory, meditation? How do I pray? How do I maintain this relationship with God? Because remember, I have no power not to drink today. I only have the power to seek the power that gives me choice over drink. It's all God. If I'm connected to God, I'm okay. If I'm not, have a party. And so on page 82 to 88, are really a concise description of what's wrong with us. We're a tornado and destroy everything in our lives. We have a long period of reconstruction ahead with the family. It tells us how to pray each morning for our relationships. Then it tells me that spiritual life is not a theory, I have to live it. Get it? And then it tells me that I can't set right everything wrong that I've done in my life, but I can be willing, and that I can stay humble and not servile in scraping. And we only make amends once. We don't keep going back for forgiveness. It's not about forgiveness. And then they have those promises on 83 and 84 that are read at meetings, and people chant after them in Topeka. But really, they're the results of the first 9 steps. That we have these things happen to us from God. They're results of a relationship with God. And they can be promised that if you do this work, you'll have this relationship with God. And if you do have this relationship with God, then you have peace and serenity. You don't feel useless anymore. You have a change in attitude. You lose fear of people, fear of economic insecurity. You handle situations better. And you realize that God's doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. Now, those aren't things that you get in the mail or achieve, and then you're like that forever. It's fleeting. It depends on your relationship with God. And up to this point, if you've done the work up to page 83 and 84, you're beginning to have this relationship. You've learned how to handle resentment and fear and shame and guilt through your 4th and 5th step. In 6 and 7, like Andy mentioned, we're trying to practice God's character, not my character. And he talked about Michelangelo. They asked him how he made the statue of David. I've seen it. It's huge. It's like 30 feet tall. Can you imagine? Big piece of marble. And he said, I just got rid of everything that wasn't David. And that's what we do in AA. We get rid of all the things that isn't the person God created so I can be that person. And it says if these results or promises will always materialize if I do the work. Now, there's something that in that statement, they'll never materialize if you don't do the work. And you have to continue to do the work for them to materialize. See? And they can be filled quickly or slowly depending upon how fast you do the work. If it takes you 10 years to do the work, it's going to take a long time to get that relationship with God. That's why I'm always worried about new people, getting them right into making a decision in step 3 and doing the work of 4 through 9. Because when you start doing the work 4 through 9, you're starting a relationship with God. You're saying, I need you, God. I need to do this. I'm doing work. I'm committed to my recovery because I'm hopeless. And then it says that thought brings us to step 10. And step 10 says, I continue to take personal inventory. So if I haven't done a personal inventory, I can't continue to do it. And I'm inventorying my thinking. Anybody else have bad thinking? Yeah. Anybody have a lot of bad thinking? Some days we have more bad thinking than others, right, Brian?
Yep.
But I can recognize it now because I'm on step 10. And I want to set any new mistakes in thinking right. So I have a power with God to see my mistake in thinking and to do the prayers to set it right. And then it says, now I'm in the world of the Spirit. So that's the whole point of AA, is to live in the world of the Spirit. It's capital S, it's God. Because of my religious beliefs, I think it's the Holy Spirit. But if you don't, that's fine. I don't care. It's nothing. It's your Holy. It's your Spirit. But for me, it's the Holy Spirit. I have this power. Now remember, the people who wrote the book were Christians in the Oxford group, and they were trying to find a way to be the statue of David and not to be filled with all the crap of self-centered life. And they had belief, but they didn't have the results of belief. They were still having mistaken thinking, and they were still a mess. So they came up with 6 steps in the Oxford group to maintain this relationship with God, where they would change their personality through God and practice His personality and not mine. And so they've entered the world of the Spirit. And that's a good place. If you're feeling okay today, okay for an alcoholic is great. Because I was always, something was always on my mind. But now I can just be okay. And then sometimes I wonder, well, what should I be worrying about? You know, hello? Anybody do that? Your thinker says, well, you're okay right now, but you're missing something. But now I just like to be okay. And then I want to grow an understanding and effectiveness of this world. And it says it's not an overnight matter. It continues for a lifetime. Notice the word continue to take inventory, continue for a lifetime. You have to do it all the time. Because we never wake up and we're perfectly God-centered. Anybody do that? If you do, write a book. But we don't. We don't. We wake up self-centered. And the book we're going to read on the next page says, okay, you're self-centered, stop. And before you make plans for the day, ask God to direct your thinking, divorcing it from selfish desires, self-seeking motives. And it says progress, not perfection. We want to make progress towards perfection. And so it says we continue to watch with God now, because I'm in the world of the Spirit, for dishonesty, resentment, selfishness, and fear. Those are the things, the self-centered character that separates me from God. And when I'm in that, things don't go well. And then it says, when these crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. Take it away. And that's step 6 and 7 all the time. But you have to do step 4 to see how you're thinking, when your thinking's wrong, to know when you want God to change it. And we gave you the new card, which shows the left-hand side, which is where we are as alcoholics, and we want to live on the right-hand side. And we can't do it on our own. We need God's help. I can't say, I'm going to live on the right side with you, God. I don't have the power to do it. I need God's power. And I have to understand that. But God won't work if I don't willing to let go of my character. So my action is to let go of my character, and then God's character comes in, and then I'm a statue of David. So at 9 o'clock, I'm a statue of David. 10 o'clock, it's full of crap. Anybody do that?
Yeah.
And then we have to stop and say, I need to clean up the statue now. Made a mess of it. And God can clean it up pretty quickly if we ask Him. And then it says you discuss with someone, you make amends if you've harmed them, and then you resolutely turn your thoughts to someone you can help. W-A-D-A-T. And then my code of living in the world of the spirits is to be love and tolerant. Now, tolerance means that disturbing people won't disturb me. How does that happen? Because of God. Let's just say they're disturbing people. Oh, well. I didn't used to do that. I would get disturbed. But we have the ability with God to be tolerant of others, truly tolerant. Why? Because we're all spiritually ill. And we all have our self-centered character, and we don't want to be upset by self-centered people, right? So that's a code of living, but none of us do that perfectly. And to be loving, ask yourself, what does it mean to be loving? And if you like scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 describes love. And they used that to help in their spiritual walk before the big book was written. They studied that in the Sermon on the Mount. And then the results of this being in the world of the Spirit is that I'm not fighting anything or anyone anymore. What could be better than that? And I'm not even fighting alcohol. So I call this the recovered promises, because it's not an obsession anymore. It's not something that I'm fighting every day. I don't even think about it most days. It's not part of my life. God's the center of my life almost most of the time. And so these other things don't come in. And then it says, if I'm interested in liquor, I'm going to recoil from it as from a hot flame. Now, I didn't have the power to do that when I came in here, but I have the power now. Who gives me that power? God. That's what it means to be restored to sanity. God says, bad idea, Michael. So if you're not on page 84 and you haven't done the work, you're at risk of drinking, because you don't have that power to restore you to sanity. At some certain times, right, Brian? Our mind will say, get a drink. We won't recall the humiliation, defeat of even a moment ago. And I have no defense against the world, against alcohol, if I'm not in the world of the Spirit with God. Who has the power? God. There's one who has all power. May you find him now. And you find him by doing the work to get to the world of the Spirit. And then you have a new attitude towards alcohol. It just comes, and you've been in a safe and protected. And you're in a position of neutrality towards not just alcohol, but towards being disturbed. When you're with God, you don't have to be bothered, and you don't have to be you're not self-centered, so you don't have expectations, so you're not getting resentment. You don't have to have fear, because fear is just wrong belief, and I've given my life to God in the moment. And it says the problem has been removed. So what is the problem? The problem, it says on page 45, lack of power. That's my problem, my dilemma. How do I find the power? It says, well, this is what the book is all about, how we find this power. And the power solves the problem. I don't solve anything. That's why I ask people, how did you let God do it when they celebrate sobriety? And that makes you humble. And I have to stay humble, because humble means I'm willing to seek God all the time. Then I know I don't have the power. Now, some days I'm less humble than others. We all are. But this is the road, the path we want to go on. And it says, this is how I react to life so long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. Now, if I'm not in fit spiritual condition, I don't react like this. I'm not safe and protected. I'm not in a position of neutrality. I'm in conflict with everybody and everything. So when you leave here today and you're starting to get in conflict with people or things, you're not in fit spiritual condition. You're in your spiritual condition. But we have tools now, when we get to this point of the steps, that I know how to get back in the spiritual condition by asking God to change the way I see it. God, remove the character, remove my impatience, my intolerance, my anger, fear, whatever. And just take me back with you. Give me a hug. I ask Jesus to hug me a lot. Just give me a hug, because I'm a mess. And then I feel better. Now, why it takes so long to do that, I don't know. Some days I get a little disturbed. Not a lot, but for me, if I'm disturbed at all, I don't like it. It makes me feel bad. And then I feel guilty that I got disturbed, because I have the power to not be. But we're not perfect. So we're going to read on the next page that we ask God's forgiveness every evening, and what corrective measures, so that we don't get into morbid reflection. So then here is the paragraph we covered last meeting. I spent four meetings on these paragraphs, because they're so important to me. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on my laurels. It's very easy. And it happens without us even realizing it. How does it happen? Well, you're not praying, you're not following the instructions of your sponsor, you're not calling people, you're dragging your feet, you're too busy for your program, you know, just so busy. Rest on my laurels. Laurels is achievements, but those laurels won't help me against alcohol, because alcohol's in the now, you get it? And if I'm not in the now with God, what I did yesterday won't help me. It says alcohol is a subtle foe. It's foe is mortal enemy, and it's subtle. It's my thinker. You could call it Satan, you could call it ego, whatever you want. It tells us things that aren't true. And then we don't feel good, and then alcohol gets into the picture. Alcohol is just a liquid in a bottle. How can a liquid in a bottle be a mortal foe to me? I mean, what's wrong with me? Because in my mind, I seek the ease and comfort of alcohol. Because my mind tells me, you're not doing well, Michael, you're disturbed. Why? Because I'm not doing the program. I'm not in fit spiritual condition. I'm not doing the actions. And then my mind says, oh, you don't want to live in this world, go get a drink. And then when you do that, you don't have a power to say no. So when people go out and drink in AA, and a lot of people like to say, oh, so-and-so went out, you know, like they're bad people. No, we're all alcoholics. Alcoholics drink. We have a spiritual illness. The only difference between us and them is I have a connection to God. And once I forget that and I rest on my own laurels, I'm in trouble. And what we have, anybody ever get a little self-pity or feel down about something? What I do is I say, I shouldn't be alive. I'm worried about something. Well, I shouldn't have that to worry about, because I shouldn't have whatever I have that I'm worried about losing. You get it? And it's on page 100. When we look back, the things that happened when I put myself in God's hands were better than anything I could have imagined. So I have to stay in attitude of gratitude of all the gifts God has given me. It said, I'm not cured of alcoholism. Not cured of drinking, cured of my self-centeredness, cured of my spiritual illness. Because remember, the disease of alcoholism occurs when? When you're sober. After you drink, it's just bad. You've got an allergy to this substance, you can't stop drinking, you're screwed. But when you're sober, why do you take a drink? Because you can't live sober, because you're separated from God. You're not in the world of the Spirit. You're in self-centered. How's that working for you? And so I'm never going to be cured, but I have a daily reprieve. Notice it's a daily reprieve. A reprieve is a stay of execution from the disease and my alcoholism, depending on what I do that day with my spiritual condition. It says contingent on the maintenance of a spiritual condition. So a lot of people say, well, you just maintain, 10, 11, just maintenance step. They give lip service to it. I heard that a lot when I came in. I even probably said it, but I had no idea what it meant. I have to maintain a fit spiritual condition. Hello. You know, the Chiefs are going to work out for months so that then they take the field, they're in fit spiritual condition. And then they're going to continue to work to be in that fit spiritual condition. And your spiritual condition can go downhill really quickly if you don't maintain a continuous working, and maintaining the action of the steps, maintaining following the directions to get into the fit spiritual condition. Remember it says on 77, my real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and others. So what am I doing to fit myself today? And if you're new, it should be scary because you don't know what to do. And so you're at step zero. You don't have God yet. You're sober. So you should want to seek this with the desperation of a drowning man. And that's where the first step is so important, because when you really take your first step, you realize how desperate your situation is. And then you want to go to any length to try to have a solution to that, which is a relationship with God. So it says, every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. So that implies that when you start the day, you have to have a vision of God's will. And what is your vision of God's will? Think about it. If you don't have one, then you might need to think about it. For me, it's to practice His character, is to be the character of God, to practice His will, not my will, to serve Him and not me, to stay out of self. I call it LPTKCC. You can call it whatever you want. Love, patience, tolerance, kindness, consider, compassion. If I be that, then I'll do that. The St. Francis prayer is a good thing to read every morning. That's a, you know, want to be a channel of God's peace. It tells me the, how I should be, what I want to bring into all my activities. It says this thought, and it says, how can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. And these thoughts must go with me constantly. So there are two musts here. I must carry the vision, and the thoughts of his vision and serving him and not me must go with me constantly. Now, if they don't, then I'm back at self. And guess what? There you go. I got selfishness, society, resentment, fear. I'm back in me. Get it? Disturbed. Conflict with everybody and everything. No power over alcohol. And it says it's the proper use of the will. So I can use my willpower if it's connected to God. People say, I want to do this. I say, well, who told you that? You see, well, God did. I said, well, how do you know that? And so you have to ask yourself, is it God's will? Is it my will? Is it selfish? Is it based on fear? Is it based on resentment? Then maybe it's not God's will for you. And that's why you have people to talk to. So now you get your will back on page 85. You can use your brain. You can use your will if it's connected to God. Now, if you're new, you don't know how to do that. So they have these pages up to 85. So if you go from page 45, where you don't have any power, and you take your book and you hold it up to page 85, it's not that much. It's 40 pages. Now, when you ask people to do all that, you think you're asking them to climb Mount Everest, you know, without a rope or a guide. It's not that much. It doesn't take that long even. So it says, much has been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. So this is how, well, the result is I get strength and inspiration, guidance, direction from that him who has all power. And if I've carefully followed the directions up to this point, here's some more promises. I've begun to sense the flow of his spirit into this. I know God's working in my life. His spirit's in me. It's working. And it's always there when I use it. And to some extent, I become God conscious. Now remember, my problem is conscious separation from God. In my mind, I live in a world where God doesn't exist. Is God everything or nothing? It says on the second step question. God's nothing. I'm everything. But now, I am conscious of God. So that means when you're going through the day, you know God's around. And God works and disciplines us, because when we separate from him, we don't feel good. If you're having a bad day, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. You separated from him. You're not with him. And I've begun to develop this vital sixth sense, who to go to. This vital sixth sense. Go to God. People tell me something. I say, go to God. Let go. Give it up. Keep your mouth shut. Go to God. It's not complicated. But we must go further, and that means more action. So 10 and 11 are tied together. So 10 starts with continuing to take inventory and set right any new mistakes. And it says step 11 suggests prayer meditation, not medication. No, that's a different book. Prayer and meditation. And I wasn't good at meditating. I thought that was lighting these lights and these fragrances and sitting there and chanting. But that's not what AA is talking about, meditation. And they're going to give you some examples. We shouldn't be shy in this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. I heard somebody, I was listening to scripture, so this is the Gospel of Mark, and the teacher was saying, how do you know about your relationship with God? He says, well, how much are you praying? How much are you actually praying and talking to God each day? And that, I mean, it sounds pretty simple, but it made an impression on me. How much time am I spending with God? Am I talking to him? Am I praying? Am I asking for his guidance? He says, and it works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. So the attitude should be, God, I need a new car. Let's get going here. The proper attitude is of humility. I'm powerless and I need the power. You're the power, God. I need your help to do your will, not to do my will, to do your will. Give me the power to do your will for me. How can I best serve you, not me? And the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Now, people wrote this book. We're not, you know, great theological philosophers of life. They didn't even have any formal training or anything, but they had guidance from the Oxford group and people in the Oxford group who wrote books on prayer and meditation and how to live a spiritual life, and they had scripture. But they wrote, six or seven paragraphs on this that really are, I don't know how they put those together. I don't know how they wrote these last six pages. In fact, I don't know how they wrote a lot of the big book and put the sentences together. The only thing I can realize is it's a spiritual book and God was inspired it. And I don't think they could have written it again a year later. It was a specific time where God was working and put this together. So when I retire at night, anybody go to sleep at night? So the instructions for prayer and meditation start with nighttime. Maybe that's because that's how scripture, night was in, beginning of the day was in the evening and started at night. So the idea is if you do this at night, when you wake up in the morning, you won't be screwed up yet. You will have done some work to clear your mind of the wreckage of the day. When we retire at night, I constructively review my day. Constructively. So I wrote, intended to be useful or of benefit. Was I resentful? You see it again? Was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or fear? Was I separated from God? Did I do any selfish things? Was I resentful, afraid, angry, fear, separated from God, being in self-will? Remember it says our life run on self-will can never work. Anybody remember that? And so where was I in self-will during the day? Do I owe an apology? Did I harm someone? Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed? And I wrote, have I given power to something in my mind? Am I sitting at home in my chair reliving the day and thinking of executing somebody while they're watching Big Bang and they're not thinking about me at all? You get it? Am I giving power to something that should be discussed with another person at once? Why? Because I don't want to hold on to it. I need to see the truth of it. And you can go to God, but it really helps when you call somebody and you tell them. Were we kind and loving towards all? Perfectly. Anybody do that? No. And when you weren't kind and loving towards all, then you were resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid. You get it? And so what could I have done better? I could have been kind and loving to all. And I could have reacted differently. I could have been in fit spiritual condition. I could have asked God to change the way I saw it. So let's say you're disturbed by something. You could stop and say, oh, this is what it is, God. Please. Just help me see it this way and give me peace, and it's done. And was I thinking of myself most of the time? You get the point of this? Where was I separated from God during the day? How well was I doing this spiritual walk? What could I have done better? Was I thinking of myself most of the time, or thinking what I could do for others? You can either be thinking about what you're going to do for others or doing for yourself. Of what I could pack into the stream of life, service, how I could be useful. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, because you know we like to do that. So we can feel sorry for ourselves. Oh, I tried so hard, look what happened. It's just nonsense. For that would diminish my usefulness to others. I can't be useful to others if I'm in morbid self-reflection. And it says, after making my review, we pray. I ask God's forgiveness. That's it. God forgive me. It says in 1 John, we're all sinners. And it says if we ask God and confess our sins, we will be forgiven. And so I believe that if I ask God's forgiveness, and then here's the thing that people don't focus on. Inquire from God, not from me, what corrective measures should be taken so how I can react differently, how I can be more loving, how I can think less of myself, how I can pack things into the stream of life. Why? To stay on the path so I can be undisturbed and of service to him and others. So I'll review the nighttime review next meeting, and then we'll get on to prayer meditation. And these pages are great. So I hope this was a helpful review. It puts it all together. Thank you.